Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 493. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Make beer, not hand sanitizer. It's my new motto. You have a little peace sign next to that.
Walter is joining us as a special guest tonight.
What's up, buddy? Wash your hands, wash your friends' hands, wash your hair. In that order.
How do you wash your friend's hands from 6 feet away?
With a hose.
Obviously, you take a bucket, you mix in some soapy water, some regular water, you tell your friend, stand still and rub your hands and toss the water at him.
And
You
then
just
you throw
pictured
a
it. You just
All right.
pictured it and you're like, damn, that works.
And then you throw like a bath bomb at him.
Exactly. Chris is like, God damn it, that works.
It's doable.
Just start washing your kids like that.
Yeah, dude. Try in the backyard. Tell me it's not, if it doesn't work, I'll come back in the next episode and I'll apologize to everybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I told my wife that if I end up getting temporarily like laid off, furloughed, that I'm just going to start streaming nonstop, and we'll do a YouTube family videos. Like, she's like, okay. So we'll see how that goes.
Then you can live stream the divorce when you're over.
Right. Yeah.
I'll donate. Don't worry about it.
Here I am now. We are outside the courtroom. Can't
then
record
my donation,
in the courtroom.
My donation comes out. Stay strong, bro.
So how are you guys doing?
I'm surrounded by boxes. It's great.
Yes, so you moved in the middle of a pandemic.
I did.
And a quarantine. Yes. How'd that go?
It actually went fine. There were only two hiccups. Number one, the building for some reason canceled our elevator reservation for the loading dock and like moving the stuff into the building. But whoever they accidentally put in our place finished early, so it didn't actually affect us. And then I had no internet for 2 days, which was nice.
Waiting for you to return.
Wait, I'm hearing a voice. I'm hearing
Earl has joined us.
Howdy.
That's a fantastic way to come in an episode, bro. I love it.
We are having a Tony regale us with this story of moving in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah. Oh. It's funny, like, you're moving and your movers are all wearing masks and, like, gloves and... I don't know. Yeah. It looks like people who should be stealing your stuff, and they're not.
That's what I'm saying, though. It also feels like that's something they should be doing in general.
Right.
You don't know where your stuff's been.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was something I saw come up. You know, Twitter's kind of a dumpster fire, but somebody did say, like, it took all of this to, like, have Walmart and Target actually wipe down their carts. Like, yeah, maybe that's something they should have been doing prior to all this.
Our Walmart ran out of wipes, like the antiseptic wipes
that they have at the front door.
Yeah, so I like, okay, fine, I'm just gonna bring bags with me and carry all my stuff as I shop. It's really frustrating.
Target, last time I went to my Target, the carts rolled over the parking lot, and in the cart is just loaded full of like masks and gloves and all that stuff. It's filthy, you know.
Yeah.
So I fear for the kids who are out there like in the sun collecting them and stuff, because now they're dealing with all that shit too. Like, you know, that's on top of their.
Yeah, I feel really bad for anybody that's having to work in an essential industry where you're facing the public.
Yeah.
But grocery workers have it so bad.
Seriously, man.
They really need to, like, if you go into a grocery store, give the option to tip. I feel like that's something they need to start doing, because these guys deserve more than what they're getting.
Yeah. Well, we have a supermarket chain here called Publix, where they still got bag boys, right? And they still won't allow you to tip the bag boy, girl, women, whatever, who's bringing your groceries to your car during this. It's like, come on, man. You know what I mean?
They're like, see, the flip side to tipping, though, is I always fear that, like, oh, they're being tipped, so we don't have to pay them more.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, somebody's got to look out for them, right? Because, like, it's not like they're not entitled. They're essential workers now, right? But we're not. The government's not going to give them extra money for
being. They're still making $12 an hour.
I mean, the worst thing is, oddly enough, they end up making nested people who aren't on unemployment. And this isn't a side against people on unemployment, but because they're working, they're not getting like that bonus $600 a month, a week, or whatever that people are entitled to with unemployment insurance right now. It's kind of a use-you situation. You're continuously exposing yourself. You're not getting more money. And like, what, people are capping for you at 7 p.m.?
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. And plus, like, hey, those jobs, like, half of them, they can't afford to fucking get healthcare anyway. So if they get sick, they're screwed.
Right, or the healthcare they have has such a high deductible that they can't afford to utilize it anyway.
They max out with one test. They go in for one test and they max out.
Yep. It's crazy. So if you are a grocery worker or any public-facing worker, please stay safe. We appreciate you.
Seriously.
Walmart should stock their antiseptic wipes, because there's no excuse for that shit.
Right.
Have them sell at the them. Door.
Stop selling them. Use them.
Yeah.
Establishment.
The one I go to, they spray them down. They have a dude with a spray.
We have a bunch of grocery stores here, but one that I stopped by, it's Acme. They were counting people that go in, so they were only letting a certain amount of people in.
Mm-hmm.
And at like the lady had like an iPad or something, and she was keeping track of who was coming in, who was coming out. And when you get to the register there, before you can go up to the self-checkout, they have somebody come and like spray it all down.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like, that's amazing. Thank you very much for that.
That's what Target is doing. They have stickers all over the floor where you can stand and wait to check out.
Yeah, like lines on like up and down. Like you can go up this way, down this aisle.
Yeah.
Like it's a very weird weird experience to go shopping right now.
DC has made all that stuff mandatory. All the grocery stores can't let in anything higher than 20% of their max capacity.
Yeah,
they all have people counting, and you're also required to now wear a mask to go in.
So I wish they would make that mandatory here.
That was weird because I went out. Well, not before this podcast, but before my evening started, I went out to get some food. One, everything shows down. I went out at 7, and everything, like, if they were open, they ran out of food anyhow because they're supposed to be done by 8. But any supermarket I pass by, it's like supermarket and the liquor store. It's like no service without a mask on. So. They're really enforcing that policy. So, again, it's stuff that I'm also like, why wasn't some of this stuff in play before any of this happened?
Yeah, yep. Man.
I would say a lot of it's probably going to be around for long after it's over.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know about wearing a mask all the time, because it's a pain in the ass when you wear glasses.
Oh, man, I was wearing my sunglasses and I was breathing into the mask and they were like fogging up. I had to take them off.
Yeah, so imagine when you have to wear glasses to actually see.
Yeah.
I have learned some tips from that. So what I do now is I put a piece of tissue in the mask, and that sucks up a lot of the condensation. There's also other tips where you can like fold it inwards and stuff like that. So, yes, it's been one of those things. I mean, it's weird that it took me this long to research it because, I mean, winter happens. But, yes, I got that going for me now.
My wife is now making masks, so she made everyone here one. You can't get the good masks in the stores; they don't have any left. They told us like how to make cloth masks, so she's been sewing them up, and she made some for her sister and her sister's girlfriend. And then all of a sudden, she turned around and there was like 12 more people that wanted masks, because she's just been running like a little mask making sweatshop here for the past 2 days, and then going to the mailbox and mailing them out to the people that wanted them, because they're tough to get right now.
Yeah, the only reason I got a supply is because my sister-in-law is an eye doctor, so she has her own supplier, and they gave her a priority on a shipment because they, you know, they, she's still seeing clients on like emergency basis and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So and that's she got an order and she's like, okay, I got you 15. You have to make these last. I was like, okay, cool. Dude, 15, like a pack of 15 costs damn near $100 right now for the, oh, for the N95 medical versions of those things.
And those are things you're supposed to wear for like 2 hours and then throw away. And like, yeah, okay, well, how long is that going to last you? Not very, yeah, long.
Well, I mean, they should, but I mean, in this day and with this situation, because it's more, well, one, it's more psychological than anything, because you're not preventing spreading it. You're preventing, right, you're preventing yourself from spreading it. You're not preventing yourself from getting it. So you can rewear it because, I mean, honestly, the germs are outside anyhow. So if they're out there, they're out there. But yeah, also like my mom's a nurse, and that's how I get my stack mask.
Yeah.
But also even in the hospitals, like she's saying, like they're giving them like one N95 for a shift instead of like having them change it out, you know, with different patients and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or and then a lot of the times they have to wear like the really cheap, flimsy hospital ones with either the like the tie. I prefer the ones that go around your ear, but whatever. So yeah, that's where I got my stack from, and. Yeah,
can make you a cool Batman one, Earl.
I was actually ready to drop like $20 on one. I'm like, why am I spending $20 on something I get for free?
That's fair. I told my wife she should charge $8 for them.
I mean, at least charge the material cost, right? Well, yeah, that's fair.
The material was like, the material comes out to a little over $1 a piece, like with the elastic and the cloth and the thread. And then I was like, you charge $8 for them. Like you have to mail it. So,
oh, I mean, yeah, it's completely fair. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then it's taking you like 20 minutes to make one, and then like to walk out there. And like, ultimately, you're only making a few bucks on it anyway. You're making less than minimum wage, like to make these things. But like, at least like charge for your time. But she's just doing it as a charity thing at this point. But she is making fancy ones, Earl. She made my daughter a Darth Vader one.
Oh, that's awesome! So
if you need a Batman one,
so what is she making them? Is she selling them with like T-shirts, yeah, or
she's selling them? She I think Walmart has like a, they have fabric in their, you know, in their store.
Oh, okay.
She's going there picking up the fabric and then sewing them based on this design that the Pennsylvania state government put out. Like if you wanted to sew them, they also gave instructions on how to make them out of like a T-shirt or whatever. But like, if you wanted to sew them, here's the pattern and here's how you do it. So that's what that's how she's been making them.
Okay.
Not you know, not super protective, but enough that if you're going out, you're not going to make other people sick, which is what these cloth masks are at this point. So, all right. Well, everybody seems like they're still sane.
I had a couple of days that I was close to losing my shit. You guys are very aware in our conversation, but you know, just got to realize we're all in this together, you know, and, you take a deep breath and you get an apex and curse at strangers on the internet.
That's right. You blame them. It's their fault.
I will say days like today are my bad days. I don't like the extension days because that's kind of always like, oh, this is never going to end for me moments. So New York and a few northeastern states announced today that our quote-unquote pause, this is our shelter in place because you need a fancy term for it, will go through May 15th. And again, mentally, I'm kind of prepared for this to go through at least the end of June right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that we do these, like, because when we were told we're going to, you know, start working from home, our initial release date was March 31st. Then the city was like April 15th. Then they were like April 29th. And now they're like May 15th. It's like, I get why they're doing it. You can't say, we don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be indefinite. But I feel like these, like, every so often, like, oh, this is going to be pushed back 2 weeks. This is going to be pushed back 2 weeks. It's also kind of grating on mentally.
Yeah. Like,
it makes you feel like you're in prison. Like, oh no, like, more.
Like, when I got deployed, we had a couple deployments. We're like, oh, we could go home in a week. We can go home in 3 weeks. Why are we still here? Why has it been 6 months? You know what I mean? But it's one of those situations where, like, mentally, you have to ignore time. Like, that's how I got through that stuff. Like, I don't, when people are like, oh, we're projecting the opening economy, I'm like, dude, this might go in. I'm like, mentally, I'm thinking realistically, November is when we'll probably feel a bit sense of normalcy, and we still be walking around with masks and shit. You know what I mean?
But I don't mind that if we're walking around.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be, it's going to be, I don't know how New York's going to pull this off. Too many damn people in New York that they just open back up.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know how they're, like, Miami's the same way, right? Like, look, this is the biggest Florida fucking news. You shouldn't be surprised hearing this. They fucking arrested a bunch of people who are holding, like, they're still opening clubs and people are going in, like, undercover and having dancing all night long. You know what I mean? And they shut the place down because they're being stupid and putting it on Instagram Live and shit like that, right? And
people economy. Are idiots.
Exactly. And it's like, so it's like, there's people who think this is a joke. It's not real. Oh, nah, I don't see anyone dying around me. What's the big deal, right? So that means, like, how the hell are you going to open cities like this up, you know, where people are, you know, stupid? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, there's that. But the other fear, and this is a fear I've had conveyed to me several times today, is that, like, to your point, if people aren't dying around you, people are like, oh, it's like you're making a big deal out of it. When the big deal is the fact that we are doing this so that people aren't dying around you.
Exactly.
But yeah, a lot of people are getting antsy. Like, oh, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? And it's like, I get it. It sucks. Like, I'm in the same boat. But you have to understand, like, you make these sacrifices. So we're not doing this every 2 or 3 months.
or how they belittle the fact of, like, oh, only 2 or 3% of the population would die. It's like, dude, that's a lot of people. A lot of people have died already.
I don't think people realize what 2 or 3, like, people are like, oh, so you've been 60,000 people. I'm like, yeah, 60,000 people is not like a small number. I mean, it is the greatest tragedy in American history right now.
Yeah, dude, it's like, dude, we're having a 9/11 every other day now, you know, and people are like, I mean, in terms of deaths, you know what I mean? And people are like, are downplaying. I was like, oh, it's just like 2%. It's like, dude, what is wrong with you, you know?
Yeah, and the sad thing is one of those people happens to be our president, so.
Yeah, let's not get started down. That's a different podcast, right?
That's one Jeff is waiting for us to go, yes, why? I want a politics podcast, please.
Yeah.
No, Jeff, we're not doing that.
I mean, I think we can all kind of agree. This won't be a very pro-Trump podcast if we ever did that.
No. So, I think I'm not going out of my way here saying that we all believe in science, common logic, and human decency. So, no, we're not. You know? But luckily, you know, I'm going to help Chris transition here. Luckily, we have video games, right? Times like this, you want escapism. You want to get away. You want to bond with people. Like, me and Tony have been bonding over, like, how shitty strangers are at Apex when they join us.
Yeah, they suck. They're really bad.
They're horrible.
They're people. All bad.
Well, I mean, because for me, I feel like there's two schools of it right now. There are the people who are like, oh, I'm home. Let me try this video game. And then it's like those teenagers who play constantly, who are there during the day now. And it's like, crap, I can't get anything done because you folks keep on killing me because you've had months and months of practice on this. So
it's true.
It sounds like you're getting the former.
Yeah. Are we still getting wins, man? At least we're getting W's, you know?
That's good.
That sounds sarcastic. I don't appreciate it, Chris.
It is. Like, it's I need to join up with you guys so you can get me the other 5 wins I need.
We need a third who's not a moron. So
yeah.
Please come and help us.
I mean, I maxed out my battle pass like 3 weeks ahead of time.
That's good. That is like that's impressive, actually.
Thank you. I've been doing my dailies every freaking night. Ask Tony.
We're in there. We're in there fighting for more XP. Give me those battle pass levels. Exactly. Game of the year. Game of the year. I keep saying that. Yeah. All the other games that came out this year suck. So
it's the unofficial official critically sane game of the year. Apex.
I mean, at this point, we are going to have very few contenders for Game of the Year. So.
Especially multiplayer. Especially multiplayer.
I don't think I have anything multiplayer on my list so far this year. So,
I think multiplayer. Like, okay, and just to kind of say, partially because I'm retweeting it now. I literally went through my Switch, my Xbox One, and my PS4 today, and I just did every single game that I own that has some form of multiplayer online to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's co-op, competitive, asynchronous, asymmetrical, symmetrical, whatever. Right. I just did that because I'm like, you know what? I've been home for 5 weeks. I will be honest with you. I have stopped pretending that work is work. I will still do work because they still pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important, but I'm like, I can't dedicate 8 hours to pretend and like this is normal anymore. So yeah. I'm like, I will take breaks to play whatever anybody wants, which is, we'll get to in a second, because my game is this week, I think it's like Borderlands, it's Nine Parchments, it's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, it's Dead by Daylight. It's like, if you have a multiplayer game that you have any interest in playing, just let me know, and I'm like, I'll drop everything. With the one caveat that I will disappear if anything work-related pops up while I'm playing. So if an email, my boss messages me, I'm like, you know, it's going to suck for you, but I'm going to take this.
That could be amusing. You're in the middle of like a mid-two. I got to go.
That's what keeps happening to us, Walt. That's why our third keeps disappearing like in the middle of the match.
That's true. They
have to take a call.
You just disappear.
See that, Earl, and I almost responded to you on Facebook. Like, why did we stop playing the Division 2?
Why did we stop playing World War Z?
Yeah,
that game was actually fun.
It's not good, but it is fun.
It was a lot of fun, but I think it was a situation where work got out of hand for a couple of us, and then it just got hard to get back on that routine. You know,
yeah, and that's fair. But now it's like work is. Whatever. So,
well, are we planning a board night?
Yeah,
we are. We're planning it, but Tony had to move.
Way to go, Tony!
Blame me.
God.
But, I think we're gonna try that again this week, officially. Yeah,
we can aim for next. Because the one thing I've learned during this quarantine is I need to schedule stuff.
Yes.
It is
because everybody's busy. Weirdly, nobody's doing anything, but everybody's busy.
Because. Everybody wants to do something no matter what. Like, I was late to this podcast because I was at a Zoom birthday party and I didn't want to like, just ditch them, but I'm like,
yeah.
I have my obligations for this. So
I've never had so many Zoom meeting requests in my life, dude. It's insane.
Yeah, we had our first board meeting today and okay, I won't say too much because I don't think they listen, but you know, you never know who rats you out.
Right.
It is funny what happens at 8:30 in the morning because there are some people who came dolled up. They had makeup on. They had their great. They had their good dress on. They were ready to go. Then there was other people who were like, "I'm just gonna throw a shirt on, and I'm good to go." And the dichotomy between who did it and who didn't was just really funny to see during the video presentation. I'm just like. Some people didn't know what to expect for this, and they just came dressed as whatever.
My new routine for those calls, if they go longer than 30 minutes, I have this thing where I'm like, I mute myself. I do it like that. Oh, I think I dropped something, and I put my dog in my place and see how long it takes for them to notice. Because I have these Bluetooth headsets, so I can hear the whole meeting the entire time, right? And I just walk away, and then when I hear like, is that a dog? And I come back in. You know?
Yeah, and she's been sitting there for 15 minutes.
Just chilling, because my dog just sits there like, okay, I'm sitting here? Okay. Yeah.
I will do that now.
I will sit here.
Yeah, so there are video games out there. I played that big one that I guess everybody was talking about this week, the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
What? They remade Final Fantasy VII?
Kind of. Like, I guess they're saying that.
Wait. You're telling me they made Final Fantasy 1 through 6?
Yes.
I'm curious to hear your impressions, because I've heard a lot of reactions to that remake term that has been mixed. Let's go with that.
So
for other people,
I am. This is making me rethink what the hell a remake is. Like,
well, remake's a marketing term at this point. It's not really.
Yeah, a remake. It is. So I'm 15 hours in, which, from what I'm understanding, is maybe about halfway through the game.
Yes.
And it has encompassed maybe the first hour and a half of the original game.
Okay.
So it's hard to like they've added like a bunch of characterization, added some extra backstory, added new characters, deeper characters. They've added new areas that you get to explore more fully, or areas that you can explore more fully than what you did originally.
Without spoiling something, I'm kind of curious.
My
PlayStation died. You know, I think you guys know my second one of this generation passed away. I'm not going to be able to play it, at least not until it comes on the Xbox or something, right?
Right. That'll be next year.
Right. Did they add elements that connect Crisis Core and Advent Children into this remake?
Not from what I'm seeing right now.
I thought some people said that Advent Child is somewhat connected, but
it could be.
Because remember, that's how they fleshed out Final Fantasy VII originally, was with that anime movie, or I mean CG movie, and then the PSP or Vita?
It was a PSP game, Crisis Core.
The PSP game too. That was it. Expanded on top of it.
Yep. There's been no mention of Zack, who is the protagonist. It looks shockingly like Cloud in Crisis Core. You're maybe exploring some of the same areas there.
Okay.
I mean, he's got to be in there because he was in the original. Zack was in the original.
Yeah, but very minor.
Yeah, it was like I forget. I might be confusing. What can we say? Spoiler elements of Final Fantasy VII? Yes. We can.
I mean, the original game.
Original game. So the original game was like his memory is clouded because he's remembering Zack, because Zack's the one who originally met Aerith, and he's the guy who originally had the big sword, the Buster Sword.
And yes, Cloud
Cloud was just like a regular soldier that just took on his identity for some reason.
They are tying in. So Cloud gets headaches in this game.
Yeah.
And every time he has a headache, he's seeing like flashbacks to his childhood or to other aspects of his past. They introduce there's a major character that is introduced very early on in this game. And if they were just following the original story, you wouldn't get that here, because that actually happens outside of the Midgar area. It happens after Midgar.
Yeah, it's in disc two.
Hmm?
It was in the second disc.
Yes, but there's something that happens early on that kind of sets the tone, the premise for what Final Fantasy VII is and who the big bad technically is early on disc one, but it's after the mega, so it's after like the first 4 or 5 hours of the game.
I still remember that game by what happened in what disc. Yes,
So they mentioned Wutai, which is where Yuffie. There's mention of like a war that was happening between Shinra and Wutai, and there's lots of added stuff to it. I really like that aspect of it. The story is good. I think the characterizations they've done are great. It is anime as fuck.
And
the original was to an extent, but they really go out there with some of it here. And then it's an action RPG. It's, the combat is, you see the enemies on the screen, which you didn't get in the original Final Fantasy VII. That was all random turn-based combat. This is, you see the enemies come at you. They're out there. You can run up to them to engage, and then it'll create like a battle arena for you to combat them. And you can then control all, you know, whoever's in your party by flipping on the D-pad. So
is it the same fighting engine as that what's that free roaming one that came out of Final Fantasy 14, I want to say?
15?
Was it 15?
Yeah.
The one that just dropped in Game Pass like earlier this month.
Yep, 15.
Yep, that's 15.
Yeah, it's the same kind of fighting engine. Did you guys play that? Because to me visually it looked the same.
Like it's, the fighting. It's similar. I would say it's maybe a little more Kingdom Hearts-y than that.
Yeah, it's like a weird. It's not turn-based, but it is. It's action. It's an action RPG, but it also has a lot of the kind of showdown and pick a menu item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you need to engage with your menu to pick an ability, which are also shortcutted to key commands, to controller like button combos that you can press. But if you need to use your items or cast a spell, it'll slow down the combat a little bit. So you can select it and do that. Casting spells or doing abilities cost AP, which there's these two bars that fill up as you do actions. And so a lot of it is you're just spamming the base attack button. If you're Cloud or if you're, if you're Tifa, you can spam the base attack button. And then she has like an uppercut. Barret has like a charge attack that builds up over time. And then they all have special abilities that they can do, or depending upon the materia you slot into their equipment, special spells that can be cast too. It's okay. I don't love the combat. It's fine. The game has weird difficulty spikes, though. Like you'll wipe out like these other guys real simply, take them out quickly, and then you'll come up against a boss that like will last way too long and kick your ass, and generally maybe it aren't fun. And then sometimes you'll come up against a boss and you'll just like wipe them quick. It doesn't make any sense, like the difficulty spikes. Some people are like, oh, it's because you're not picking the right abilities or the right spells to go against them. Like I'm assessing each enemy and then like going against their weaknesses, and sometimes even that's not working. So I just think there's these weird difficulty spikes for me. I've gotten to the point where I wanted to throw my controller the other night, so that wasn't cool.
the way I played the original is like I was the guy who overpowered up before going to a boss. Is that possible in this one?
Not really. Like there's not anywhere for you to really grind levels. There are these slower areas that are a little more open where you can do quests. And and by doing the quest, you'll fight enemies and you can get experience that way. And that also gives you access to these areas. So you can like loop around and fight them, but it's not like where, you know, if you played the original Final Fantasy VII, you run around the open world for like 20 minutes and you can gain like two or three levels.
Yeah.
And like, all right, now I'm good to go take that boss on. Like gaining two or three levels here isn't a very quick endeavor most of the time.
Yeah.
Do the enemies respawn?
They do. Depending upon where you are and which portion of the game, you can like go out of like a, so there's like a scrapyard in the one area, and you can go in and out of that scrapyard and enemies populate in there.
So basically, it's kind of pushing you forward. You have to go out of your way to kind of do that. What I do, over prepare, right?
Yeah.
And that to me is like already like a yellow flag, right? Like, it's not exactly like, oh shit, I don't want to buy this. But it's more like, damn, man, episodic. I'm gonna get through this game fast and wait how long before the next one? You know?
Yeah. So, I'm that's my understanding is that it's episodic, but this doesn't say it's episode one. It's just called Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's not Remake Part One. It's just Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I've actually seen. I know friends who stream, and they already cleared it. It's absolutely episodic. It ends on a cliffhanger.
I'm sure they're gonna do like a Final Fantasy VII Remake 2 and 3.
The problem is,
and still remains. We don't know how many parts and how long it's gonna take. Because even when this was announced, it was 2.5 years between announcement and release date.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, I thought the reason was because they already have most of the next ones done. They just decided the business model would make more sense to release it in parts instead of waiting for everything to be done.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was gonna say, and this is which we know more. Like I've read spoilers on how this works, and part of it is they are trying to do it where it is like a big hook for the next part. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see. Like, I think from what I've seen, again, the reaction has kind of been mixed. So I'm curious. Like, it's always been the problem with episodic games. It's like you can get them with the first one. How many people are gonna come back for the second, third, fourth, fifth?
Well, I mean, isn't the idea that you bought this and the next episode is going to be just going to be an add-on, or you have to buy the next
one? No, it'll be a whole new game.
Like, I don't even think it's going to be on the same system.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I for some reason, I thought it was going to be, like, added on, you know?
No. If that is what they're doing, they have not announced that. And every indication that I see is that whatever Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 is will be a new game, not a continuation of.
That's going to piss people off.
It'll be a continuation, but it won't be like, this is just like a $20 DLC to this version.
That's going to piss people off, because I thought, you know, it'd be a cool touch if they make it four parts, just like the original had four discs, right? That'd be a cool thing for me. You know what I mean?
Three. The original had three. But...
Which one have? What am I remembering four? Is that Zero Saga?
Final Fantasy 8 and 9 both had four discs.
And Xeno Saga had four discs, right?
Xeno Gears on the PlayStation had two discs. That second disc was a shit show. Final Fantasy 8 and 9 were four
had
discs.
Had the four discs? Yeah. Okay, that's probably where I'm mixing it up, because 8 is my favorite Final Fantasy.
What's wrong with you, Walter?
What do you mean? It's a better game.
God, it's so bad.
8 is not a bad game.
Fight!
I can't stand the emo school kids. I hate the draw system. There's
cool things
about it.
It's a better Riverdale before Riverdale existed.
Okay, well, that's it. I'm not into Riverdale, so.
Riverdale is bananas.
Exactly. Is Final Fantasy VIII, okay?
And I didn't love Final Fantasy VIII to start. It's one of the ones I haven't finished. But I have a deep resentment towards Final Fantasy VIII because my memory card died on disc 4.
Oh, no.
And I lost the entire save. So fuck.
Well, look, if you ever see it on sale, and like, I'm sorry to derail you, but you ever see Final Fantasy VIII on sale on Steam for the PC, it's a definitive version. It's high def, and it's got like a speed. You can actually adjust how fast everything moves, including how you run and how you level up. You can adjust everything on the fly. Okay,
so this is how much of a sick Final Fantasy fan I am. I own it on Steam. I also own it on Xbox and on PlayStation. I hate that game, but I bought it 3 extra times. I'm a broken human.
You are. This is true.
When are we getting Chrono Trigger on the Switch? That's what I want to know.
That'd be nice, right?
Like, do it now. Give me even the iPad version. Give it to me now. You know?
I mean, they Square has released like Dragon Quest. Their classic Dragon Quest games on Switch. They could totally do that.
Absolutely. I mean, Chrono Trigger is still available on iPad.
Yeah, It's not the best version, but I would take anything at this point. So
I want the cartridge one. I don't want the PlayStation one because that has that. Remember, I'm completely derailing you guys. But when you hit the menu on the PlayStation one, there was like a 2 second fucking wait.
Yeah, and then they had so the DS version of that game is fantastic. It's basically that PlayStation version, but without the load times.
And with the anime or with no anime?
I think it has the anime in it too.
How did they get it right, and how did the PlayStation screw that up?
Because PlayStation was disc-based, so it had to read off the CD-ROM, where the DS was cartridge-based. It was the card-based, so it was able to just read right off the flash memory.
But it's still freaking... It's Chrono Trigger. I mean, come on. It was overkill to put in a disc.
Yeah.
You know?
But Final Fantasy VII, I'm liking it.
I mean, it looks fantastic, though, and it runs...
It looks really good.
Yeah. So, it does. It looks great, especially in cutscenes and anytime characters are talking. There are parts in that game, though, that look like absolute garbage. Like, any door you interact with, just it looks like PlayStation resolution graphics. Like, it's like they took the pre-rendered... visuals from the original game and just like, here's a door. And then there is this section, I think it's chapter 5, where you're on the underplate of Midgar, and you're trying to, you're on these like scaffolds that overlook the slums. Mm-hmm. And the slums below you look like a bad satellite photo. So if you like, it's fine if you're just kind of running along the scaffold, but if you take a moment to like look down and actually look at it, it looks terrible. So they've just like, and I understand why, like you're not going to put a ton of effort to rendering buildings and stuff that are supposed to be viewed from far away, but it's like they just took this weird JPEG and threw it in there.
Well, maybe it's an Easter egg to the original.
Yeah, maybe.
Because remember the original had some Yankee like backgrounds that were really off?
Yeah. It could be. Maybe they're just like, "Hey, let's just take this JPEG image we have for the original and throw it down there." And then people that like the original will be like, "Hey, look at that." It's also super linear. I should mention that. Not that the opening of Final Fantasy VII was very open, but this is like Final Fantasy 13 levels of linearity.
Oh no! Oh no! Like, you just invoked the unholy Final Fantasy.
Well, it's so like it's.
Wait, remind me which one 13 is. That's the one with the pirate and the bunny lady, right?
No, that was the one with Lightning, who was the lady.
Oh, okay. Yeah, enough said. Enough said.
And Hope,
the one,
who's
the one
terrible.
Where they spend half the budget of the game on that one song from that lady.
It's possible.
You guys know what I'm talking about because it was on every advertisement ever.
I think I remember a vocal recording for 13 being very big.
Yeah,
them.
It was
not
like
that. It was great, but
yeah, it was like a love song from the, I forgot the name of the artist. I'll look it up right now while you guys are talking. I'll put it in Discord.
But yeah, Tony, it's like those early levels of 13 where it's like you're just running down a hallway. A lot of this is that. Like, there's not much deviation. And I think it works a little better than 13, although I think 13's battle system was great, although it was turn-based. This is the action combat. But there's not much, like, hey, maybe you go off on the side because you see something there, and there's a chest there, so that's cool. But there's not much reason to, like, do that. There's no, you're not finding a side quest down an alleyway or something. It's very much designed for you to kind of run through this funnel. But fortunately, the story is really good, and the characterizations are solid. So I'll have more of that. I'll probably finish it this week, so I'll be able to kind of give my final thoughts on it next week. But right now,
final
I like
thoughts
it.
On Final Fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. The remake of it, the seventh Final Fantasy.
When we're up to 15,
yeah,
So much for final.
So that's that one. Earl, what have you been playing?
I have been playing anything I can get my hands on. But I guess the newest one, honestly, because I'm still playing Animal Crossing. I did try out Horizon Zero Dawn.
Wait, you hadn't played that before?
No. And okay. It's funny because my friend messaged me. He's like, oh, you bought Horizon Zero Dawn? I'm like, no, I've had Horizon Zero Dawn since like 2018. I was just like, oh, let me play this game. Because I think I mentioned that on the show. I was looking for a new RPG to play or something kind of meaty to play in addition to Animal Crossing. And I'm like, oh, let me, you know, I was looking to buy Tales of Vesperia and all these other RPGs. And I'm like, oh, wait, I also happen to have a bunch of games I never touch that I paid for. So let me try this. I'm not even that far, maybe half an hour in, because I was doing this during work and then work stuff took over. So I'm still kind of into the tutorial section. She actually just grew up to be an actual adult person, not a child. So I'm super early in.
You are way early.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten repetitive yet.
It hasn't. Oh, it gets repetitive because
I felt it was repetitive.
This is one of my. This is probably my favorite PS4 game. So I don't. It never got repetitive to me. The combat always feels fresh. They always give you new things to hunt down and do. So.
Yeah, I'm with Tony on this. I love Horizon. I love setting up the traps, like, and using them to kill your giant robot dinosaurs.
Finding different ways to take down the dinosaurs. They all have different weaknesses. It's just fun. And you get stuff all the time.
I don't know, because when I was doing the whole... Because, you know, I was trophy hunting for a while there, you know? And trying to do the trophies for that game, it started feeling repetitive. But that's on me. That's my own fault, right? Because you're just doing things on a loop in order to kind of get the achievement.
Sure. You know? Early on in that, Earl.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Like I said, I've not done a ton, so it's hard for me to make a proper opinion. But I just kind of like sneaking around the dinosaurs using your bow and arrow. A lot of that seems really nifty. And I from what I understand, it's also great that I'm playing it away from Breath of the Wild. A lot of people seem to make comparisons between those two games.
Yes. Especially with the focus on your bow and arrow. I played them both at the same time and hated one the other.
Yeah, which one did you hate more?
Well, one of them was my game of the year. The other one is Breath of the Wild.
Okay. That's what I needed to just carry we needed that on the record.
I think with Breath of the Wild, you have to kind of ignore a lot of like what you used to out of a Zelda game. And just embrace that this thing kind of its own thing, you know?
Well, we know Tony's a Nintendo hater, though.
I would be. I'm with Tony on this one, too. And I don't hate Tony. I don't hate him either. But I don't hate Nintendo or Zelda. My biggest problem with the game was the fucking degradation.
Degradation. It ruins the entire experience.
That's the problem. That's the issue with that game. Everyone keeps like, why in the fuck do my weapons always filter and splinter away? You know what I mean?
And I'm not sure what Nintendo's big fascination with degradation is this generation, but it's been a giant thorn in my side with their games.
I guarantee you the sequel's gonna axe that. I guarantee you they're gonna find a way to like have an upgrade system where you can strengthen it at the very least, you know?
I feel like it's Nintendo, and I feel like they're just gonna go in on that.
It's like all your weapons, just you can use it once.
Yeah.
It'll be a crafting system next time. You can craft
it. Yeah, like Animal Crossing. Like you're going to have to actually find resources in the environment to make your weapons.
Yep.
And then like, okay, you know what? It doesn't break anymore, but you have to buy 500. Yeah. that's going to be the Nintendo way.
I remember that game, I had to take a break when I was like, I got to the point where I was chasing down those the seeds, the little animal, the little leaf guys. I was like, because I needed more inventory space for my weapons, and that's when I was like, I need to take a break from this game. You know, I was like, this is a little bit too much, you know.
I mean, I will say Jeff never turned on that game. He has turned on other Zelda games, you know, after he's played them a little bit longer, like Skyward Sword. Yeah. But
I will still, as the kids say, stain for Skyward Sword. I think it gets a bum rap.
I never played the Wii ones. I completely skipped the Wii generation.
I'm a fan of motion controls, so I know I'm in the minority with that.
Wow, dude. Wow. Do you do a lot of like VR games too? Is that your thing?
I have not done VR games yet.
Oh, you're going to love VR. If you love motion controls, VR is like motion controls on steroids. But especially if you play on PC, there's games that you can actually articulate, like even what you grip and what you throw and all that stuff. That's pretty. If I didn't get so motion sick, I would really get into VR because there's some of these games out there are like doing really well. The new Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah.
Physics are fantastic in VR in that thing.
Yeah, we were discussing that today with some friends because, yeah, it was like one friend is like really big into it and he's just like disappointed it's not selling well. And it's like, yeah, VR has that huge thing with motion sickness, but it's also just, it's still like there's no cost effective way for normal people to do that.
Yeah. But I'm surprised you haven't gotten into it. If you're into motion controls, VR, especially new stuff on PC, they're really taking like steps forward. Like something with the headsets still makes people motion sick. If they can perfect that though, you know?
I'm a fan of, I think that I've played a little of it. But like for me, most of it is really just space because a lot of it just as a New York City apartment, I'm not getting that type of space.
Yeah. But that's the thing. They're getting to the point where you need space because you are going to wander around a room that you're not in. You know,
it's certainly not a business that I would go to right now, even if they were open. But we've had these like little VR shops, like in the mall, like the VR arcades. That's something like where like I want to try like Half-Life Alyx, but I don't want to spend $300 to try Half-Life Alyx.
Right.
So it'd be something like, hey, maybe I would pay $20 to go and spend an hour with it at like some VR arcade.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell I'm doing that now.
I remember E3, but maybe 10 years ago when I tried the first Oculus Rift like version and they had you try it out and they made you sit down. Because like more than half of the people who tried it for like 10 minutes got dizzy when they took it off. It was that bad back in the day. So the fact that I can now even put on the PlayStation VR and actually do a few laps in Gran Turismo without trying to puke is a big improvement compared to what it was originally. So like another 5 years, they can kind of somehow find people that commit and maybe bring the price down. Like I think they're going to be onto something like real. We could be doing like the podcast wearing those damn headsets and like, you know what I mean? Sitting in some virtual room,
this is VR's time to shine.
Yeah. It is, but it's not there yet though. It really isn't.
It's not.
The physics are there in game, right? It's the headset technology. It's still, dude, those things, like if you guys tried the ones that are like available at home, like you're either going to get a migraine or a headache. It's one of the two because it's like you're not supposed to have something that bright that close to your eye for a long period of time. And on top of that, the refresh frame, like the screen refresh rate, it's so much that like you're going to find yourself either blinking too much or not blinking at all. And that's where the sickness comes in, right? Because it's over sensory of your senses in a sense. You know, kind
of like one of those headsets, my eyes bloodshot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same. I've had that sensation before, right? Because night vision goggles in the military, spoiler alert, are really, really, really fucking bad for your vision. You know, like it's horrible. Like it literally, like I'm pretty sure I have burnt retinas because of that. You know?
Ugh.
And
sounds fun.
Oh, dude. Sometimes the night missions in the morning, you just wake up and puke. You don't get the fun of migraine you got from them, you know? But like, so I'm used to that kind of stuff. And like the first time I put that Oculus, I was like, oh, I've had this before. And it just really just my whole body just rejected it because it's like I've experienced this before. It's like having a movie projector screen like throwing it like a few inches from your eyeball. It's just not fun, you know. But it's getting better. It's getting much, much better. I think they just got to figure out how it's not triggering that fatigue, you know. And once they get there, I think it's. Because I think the physics are there. I think the computers are there, right? It's the headsets are the biggest drawback right now.
And they need to find
a way to lower the costs on it, and then
to
make it so that, like, you know, the situation Earl's in, like, doesn't make sense for where he lives.
No,
like if they could fix that, it might be a little bit better. But Earl, I see a bunch of multiplayer games on your list.
Yes, a bunch of multiplayer games. Like I said at the start of this podcast, literally on Twitter, Facebook, and some of my chat groups, I have posted every single game that I own or have access to currently that has some form of multiplayer in it. I am down to play whatever these days. But I guess the first one I would talk about, especially since you folks, I don't think we're too keen on it when we did it last year, is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. The final state of DLC came out 2 weeks ago, which introduced the Fantastic Four into the game. And I had some friends who were interested in kind of going back and playing it, and it's only $20 for the DLC. One, I will say, I think more games should have the ability to go back and just kind of play the game as a super OP'd character. Because it's a weird multiplayer game. A lot of multiplayer games, it's usually based off of the host as far as what you can do and can't do in the game. For some odd reason, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is based off of the person with the least amount of progress in your team.
Oh.
So, like, I had beaten the game, and two of my other friends had beaten the game, but one person hadn't. So we had to go back and make them beat the game on their normal difficulty so we could play the next highest one, because they wouldn't be able to join that game otherwise. So at first we were like, oh, this is a good time to level up some characters. But then we're like, oh, you know what? We should just kind of tank this and go with some of our OP characters and just wreck shit. And it's really great to go to a boss battle and finish it in like 20 seconds, if that.
Yeah.
So we got through the main campaign again in about 2 hours. Maybe a little more time than that. But it was great to just kind of break stuff. And then we started going through some of the gauntlets recently to... We went through some of the gauntlets recently to just unlock a lot of the DLC characters. So we went through the first batch, which is the mystical side of Marvel. So it's Moon Knight, it's Punisher, it's Morbius, the Vampire, and Blade. And we went through that, and then we started going through X-Men, which is Iceman, Jean Grey, Gambit, and somebody else who's I forget right now.
Storm?
And again, no,
is it Cyclops?
No, Cyclops and Colossus are free DLC. Storm's already in the base game.
Okay.
It's
that Wolverine,
It's not, Wolverine's in the base game. Magneto's in the base game.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it for it.
Rogue.
Rogue's not in the game. It's not Beast.
That's why it sucks.
Who is it? And it's Phoenix, Iceman, Gambit, and I honestly don't remember who the person is. And we just unlocked them yesterday. I only remember Gambit because we forgot Gambit yesterday. Because it's like, who cares about Gambit?
That's fair.
No one should care about it.
Psylocke?
No, she's in the game. Psylocke, Nightcrawler.
I'm looking at costumes. My bad. I thought I was looking at DLC. Let's see. That's not it.
It's a character that we all love.
I'm sure. So much. And I'm sure somebody's going to make, oh, how'd you forget so-and-so?
Yeah, everybody's like non-existent character, somebody's favorite. So
it's not Cable?
Especially with the X. Oh, Cable. There we go. There yes, you go. Cable's the one we can't forget it. It's Cable.
Yeah. Scott Summers' son.
Yes. From the future.
From the future.
Which is, yeah, it's a whole thing. But yeah, and then the Fantastic Four is the Fantastic Four. So yeah, it's kind of nice to go back and face some of that. And there is like a new chapter with the Fantastic Four in Doom. That's kind of like the epilogue finale of the game.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of Fantastic Four from Marvel soon. I don't know if you heard the news that Jim from The Office, I forgot his name, god damn it. The actor directed The Quiet Place.
Krasinski?
Jim Krasinski, yeah.
Yeah.
John Krasinski. John.
Yeah, he confirmed he's having conversations with Marvel, and everyone's like shitting their pants because they're like, if they get him, they're gonna get his wife to be Mrs. Invisible Woman, and Marvel's gonna go all in on Fantastic Four.
I mean, so you could try it again, I guess. Keep trying to make that thing work.
Well, before it was Fox, you know, I mean. You have to admit, you know, Marvel has a good track record when they get their hands on it, you know?
Sure. I'm not big Fantastic Four.
No, and that's fair. Fantastic Four works because we had two Incredibles movies. So we know it can work.
Yes.
It hasn't worked so far, but we know it can work. Is the big thing.
There's been some storylines in the comics that people have been starving for. The stuff between Dr. Doom, not the Doom that was represented in the movies prior. That wasn't really, that's a caricature, right? The actual Dr. Doom in the comics is like, dude, he's one of the most layered villains in period, you know, in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And his back and forth with Mr. Fantastic are dude, they're great, dude. Because there's no like right and right. There's a lot of like, I can kind of see where Doom's coming from. You know what I mean? And I can see why he thinks that this guy's a dick.
Outside of that, he runs a tyrannical country by himself.
I mean, I like that.
But there's one storyline which I'm horrible remembering names, and Earl's probably gonna like jump in and be like, "Oh, I remember that." Where they dive into the street level, and Shield's like, "Why don't we just take him out?" Well, somebody suggested like take him out and free him up. He's like, "Because people will fight us for it. People love him. They got free healthcare. They have this. They're taken care of. They don't worry about money, poverty." Everyone like is taken care of, and it's all because of Doom, you know. Yeah. So it's like he perfected how to be a dictator, basically in comics, and his people love him for it, you know.
Yeah, which I think is fair. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that DC has with Darkseid, but I was gonna say it's kind of the same thing that China has. It's like if you can kind of get the people on your side, why not? Like he's not hurting people.
And plus, he's not like oppressing them. He's actually giving like access to like advanced like medicine and everything. You know.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the smartest people in the Marvel universe. So
yes, those to be fair,
guys. I
feel like Marvel does way too many intelligent characters.
Yes. Yeah,
but the fact that Doom has been OP for a while, right? Because it's a mixture of Doctor Strange and Mr. Fantastic and Iron Man.
It is funny though, like my favorite Marvel characters are, you know, Tony Stark, Peter Parker, and Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
I'm less keen on the a lot of the other ones, but
yeah,
it's I mean, it's fair, but it's just really funny. I think a lot of people like they just kind of like it's like if we don't have a character trait, let's just make them super intelligent. And it's like this explains why they get away with a lot of stuff, because like even in the MCU, like Tony Stark, Iron Man, Shuri from Black Panther, a lot of them are just super intelligent people. And it's like at some point, it's like you can only have so many intelligent people.
Yeah, which is great for like comic book readers, because like they started with this base, and then like over time, they're entrusted to writers. Who made Tony Stark an alcoholic, you know? So they're able to like, no matter the exterior, this guy's a broken man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's those things. It's like Mr. Fantastic. He went from being ideal super dad to like, hey, this guy's completely obsessed, and he ignores his family, and there's a fallout because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's those things, right? It's they add. Good writers will always take a blueprint and perfect it by cracking it, you know, and letting the human side pour out.
Yeah, and I think that's important, especially with, Marvel is what, I forget the term they use, but, DC has always been kind of over the top, not over the top, but, like, their heroes are, like, Superman isn't a person who's suffering with depression or alcoholism.
Yeah.
He's just, so they've always been good in that regard, but, yeah, it's funny to just kind of see them bring these characters back after ignoring them so long because they didn't have the film rights to them.
Yeah.
And I think they even quip when they come into the game, like, it feels like we haven't been around in such a long time.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love when they're kind of like self-aware, you know?
Yeah. But well, yeah.
You already talked about the game, and like, I'm a huge Ultimate Alliance and X-Men Legends fan from back in the day, right? And I haven't played this one yet. You don't believe? Like, I don't know why I'm on the fence, because it just feels like it's like a side scrolling beat 'em up to me instead of a dungeon crawler.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like it's not an RPG in the traditional sense that the previous games were. Like, I think the biggest difference for a lot of people is that most of your characters, by default, have four moves. You're on a fifth move at the end of the game. It's not like the previous games where you had a ton of different moves, and people would, you'd figure out, like, what are the best four moves, because you get, like, a dozen of them or something. It's like, no, you get these four moves, and you just kind of upgrade them as you see fit. And other times it is button mashing. You don't, like, the powers are important, but they're not as important. And the synergies have played a big part, but again, I feel like the combos in the older games were much better. And I feel like a lot of the customization in the older games, like even like the different costumes each character would have.
Yeah.
By default, most of the characters only have one costume by the end of the game. You're only like a second one, but it's not like the previous one where they'd have like five or six costumes going back through it throughout their entire history. And then, my Iceman would be different from your Iceman because I'm like, I want to focus on these four abilities. Yeah. And you want to focus on those four. It's like, yeah, you had the same four abilities. It's not that different.
That's a shame. That's a disappointment. Because I absolutely love that about the other ones. Because you can literally focus your moveset based on, like, the costume, right? Like you said. And like, I remember one thing that stood out about Ultimate Alliance 2 was those kind of like team up moves, right?
Yeah.
Where like before even the Civil War comic and the movie made it iconic, where it was like Iron Man or even the first Avenger where Iron Man's shooting his ray at Cap's shield and making it spread all over. They had that in that game. You know, it was one of the moves. And
they don't have, like, they have synergy attacks, which is like, I will do an ice special, and you do a fire special, and they'll combine. But yeah, like, to your point, they don't have, like, and I could be wrong, I don't think they have, like, those older games where it's like, you would actually be, like, Colossus, and you'd pick up Wolverine and you'd toss him for the screwball special. That's not in this game. It's
yeah, like Wolverine doing a move that,
yeah. And that is, you know, that is a downer.
That's a missed opportunity completely, man. Come on. That was one of the big elements of Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2.
Yeah.
It's just they made a different type of game here.
They just kept the name, and it's a completely different game.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a game in the sense that, like, you are still, you know, like, picking a variety of these Marvel characters and using them. But yeah, it's not like the same game that you would have expected, especially after something that was pretty much on a decade hiatus before we got this. It's not like the same game. It's just like, oh, this is a brand that people were familiar with. Let's use it again. That said, I don't mind it for what it is. But yes, to your point, it's not what, and I think that was what a lot of people had issues with. It's not what you would have expected from this game if this was Marvel Ultimate Alliance that came out right after the original.
So,
but you're enjoying that with your buddies?
Yeah, it's been fun.
But, what do we want to talk about here? Dead by Daylight or Borderlands 3?
Oh man, let's go with Dead by Daylight. Just because I think it has more recent content. It had I don't know if you folks pay attention to it that much. It has some Stranger Things content that come out.
I did hear that. Yep.
So it has a Stranger Things theme. It has the Demogorgon, I believe that's a creature, and then you can play some of the characters from the game. So I don't know how much. I feel like I've mentioned this when I mentioned Dead by Daylight before. I don't think any of you really played that much.
I've tried it. That's about it.
That is, it's an asymmetrical multiplayer game where it's 4v1. One person plays a monster and four people play survivors, and you are trying to open up generators so that you can get the exit and escape the stage, and that is how you win. But yeah, so there's that. And then there's the... I mostly play with friends, so I mostly play as the survivor side. So I should say I've always played as the survivors. So all of my stuff has been trying to figure out how to, you know, escape intact without any issue. And so, yeah, I went back because I have friends who are really big into this game and I was looking for something to do because I didn't want to do work. But it was nice to kind of see some of the new content as well. Like I said, the Dead by Daylight. One of the things with the monsters is almost every monster has some type of unique ability. So some of the classic monsters in there includes Jason, Freddy's in it. Michael
Myers.
Yeah. You have the Jigsaw. Oh, not Jigsaw. What is the other thing called?
It's the pig
mask, which doesn't have an official name, I think, is in it. You have the other face. You have some original creations as well. And then each one has like their own special ability. So like Freddy, Freddy, you enter the dream state, and in the dream state you have, you know, like you can't do certain things until you wake up. You can be woken up by a teammate, or you can be woken up by finding certain items on the map that will awaken you. He has an ability where he can start stalking you, and if he, during that phase, if he kind of finds you, it's a one-hit KO, so it knocks you down in one hit. So with the Demogorgon, its ability is it's essentially able to kind of transport you to the upside down. It does not work how it works in the actual TV show, because the upside down isn't like a magical place you transport between. But from a gameplay element, it kind of works, and it can kind of teleport around the stage and stuff like that. So that's kind of nifty. Heroes have special abilities. They don't have special abilities, but they have certain perks that they unlock. And the Stranger Things kids, I don't really know. The only one, I don't have the DLC. My friend does, and he played as Steve, which is the older male character in the show. But yeah, I think Dead by Daylight is a ton of fun. Matches, depending on how good or bad. I mean, I guess that's always the problem with asymmetrical multiplayer, is it really depends on how that one person does as their role. Because we've had some where like the courier is just really... Because essentially, as the courier, you can knock people down and you hook them. And hooking them is kind of how you kill them. But we've had couriers who will just kind of stalk one person, and like that's good for kind of keeping that person out of the game, but what that means is then everybody else can just work on the generators and it's very easy to get out. And right. Then there's other characters who are just really, really good, who are like, okay, I'm gonna knock down this person, I'm gonna see if I can chase some other people and get them down, but you're risking other people being able to pick them up and get them back into the game. So it's always a mix of like who is the actual courier and how well they play this game.
How would you compare this to that Friday the 13th game? That's kind of the same thing, right? It's a bunch of survivors and Jason in the map.
It's very much the same thing. I think the one thing that I will give the Friday the 13th game more than this is I think there's more ways to escape from Friday the 13th. Because I think part of Friday the 13th is you're trying to start up a car.
Or on the boat or something, right?
Yeah.
Something
like that? Yes. Yeah. So there's various ways to escape. Where is one? Especially as a team, there's only one way to escape, and that is to power down these generators so that the escape door opens. Mm-hmm. As a sole survivor or with some special abilities, there are other ways that open up near the end game, which is like finding a magical hatch that you can go through and escape that way. I don't know. But like at the start of the game, that isn't available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And on that same note, I think the other thing that Friday the 13th does is that it gives you like a reason to kind of search around for items because you don't really start with anything. So you want to search around for like keys for the car or flashlights or ammo or something. Mm-hmm. With this one, it's kind of like you have your one objective and you can do it. Like you can search for like health kits and toolboxes, but for the most part, you don't have to because like anything you bring at the start, you can take with you at the end. But aside from that, I think Dead by Daylight does a lot more better, especially with giving the killers certain perks and allowing the heroes to work together in certain ways, like the generators. You can do it by yourself, but you get it goes faster if like two people work on it or three people work on it. But at the same time, like, if you like, there are quick time events during the generator sequence, and if you screw it up, it alerts the killer to like not only are you working on a generator, it tells them which one you're working on, so they can kind of teleport there and get to you.
It stalls you, right? It stops progress on the repair, and it takes you a little while to get back into it.
Yeah.
So you played Dead by Daylight. Similar to that, I tried out Resident Evil Resistance, which seems to be the same thing. Just very pretty version of it, asymmetrical. you pick a hero or a survivor at the beginning. That survivor has perks and abilities that each of them can do. I guess as you level up, you gain more perks, and you can like kind of outfit them a little bit better. Each of them start with a weapon that you can then find money in the game and buy ammo for. You'll start out with a little bit of ammo. And it's kind of very much this, like, get through this area. There's three stages like that you're trying to get through. And the end, you're trying to unlock a door and escape from this weird fun house that has been set up. The twist for that is that the person playing as the villain is basically in control of everything. So they can place enemies, they can place traps, they can and the more damage that they do, the more points that they get that they can then spend and buy more traps and more enemies or special enemies to spawn in. So if you're very good at it, you can like make it very, very, very difficult for the people there. So it's not so just
it's kind of. I was gonna say it's closer to what Left 4 Dead used to be.
I guess it's. I'm trying to think of how Left 4 Dead worked.
It worked similarly if you played the versus mode, because one team would be the survivors and one team would be
the monsters. Right.
Yeah. And then like, you know, like the big thing would be whenever the tank showed up, and then it's like, how do we coordinate that so that the tank wrecks shit while the Nicker and yeah.
Right. So the difference here is that the person, the villain in charge, they call them the mastermind, can then take control of any of the enemies they put on the board. So they can be the dog, they can be the zombie. They don't need to control each one, but they can if they want to, and then they do control the big, like the, you know, they can drop Mr. X down or Nemesis down to wreak havoc, and they can control them. So yeah, similar, I guess, to how Left 4 Dead was. but more of a, almost like a dungeon master type role for the mastermind.
Does it feel like tagged on at all, or do you feel like this was like developed, you know, properly? Because, you know, sometimes they throw these kind of modes in, you know?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because originally this was supposed to be a standalone game.
Yeah, so it's like half. I can see why they attached it to Resident Evil 3. Mm-hmm. Because I think people would have been angry paying $60 for this. There does seem to be, you know, variety in the levels that can be chosen. And there is a lot of room for advancement and progression throughout, like by earning experience and then unlocking things. It just doesn't seem as deep as maybe something like Dead by Daylight. So, you know, asking people to spend $60 just because it's a really pretty looking version of that game,
yeah,
seems crazy. I think attaching it to Resident Evil 3 made a lot of sense. Especially, you know, we talked about Resident Evil 3 last week. I didn't necessarily find it to be obscenely short and gross in that way that some people are, you know, outwardly offended by. But this is like a nice add-on for that. It replaces Mercenaries mode, which was in the original Resident Evil 3. You know, it's its own separate game, but it comes with Resident Evil 3. So it's almost like a mode there. But yeah, I don't think that it would have worked as a standalone product.
Well, the reason I ask is because, like, I'm suspicious of Capcom doing multiplayer games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, remember Lost Planet?
Yeah.
You guys remember that? The multiplayer was pretty shallow, you know? So I don't know. So I just sometimes say like
there seems like there's a lot of room for, you know, progression and advancement over time. I wasn't enthralled enough with it that I want to play more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't love, you know, Dead by Daylight or, you know, the Friday the 13th game. They're interesting games for me to try out, and you know, if I had a group of people to play with, maybe I'd like them better. But
yeah,
we generally don't shift towards those types of games. So,
well, here's a question for all you guys: like, in regards to like games being short for $60, is it because of the game's only giving us like 15 hours of play time, or is it because like we're in a sense we're kind of spoiled this generation? We've had like Witcher 3, Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead. You know what I mean? Games that tend to not to finish. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Because
15 hours is a damn good commitment for a single player game, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah,
especially now.
Yeah, we're all fighting for time during the day, right?
And I think that the complaint with Resident Evil 3 specifically is more that it's more maybe a, you know, 5 or 6 hour game. On your first playthrough,
right?
And
but that kind of adds to what the game is, right? The game is like you're in this environment for a set amount of hours. You're trying to run away. It's the game. Even the original was constantly rushing you.
Yep, and that was my thing. Is like I don't know what people were where they were coming from with Resident Evil 3, because if they remembered the original game, it wasn't particularly long either. This is roughly the same length. So like, oh, it's shorter than Resident Evil 2. Yeah, but Resident Evil had two campaigns booked into it.
Yeah.
And this was never going to have two campaigns because it's a remake of 3.
Yeah, and the pacing was completely different between the two original ones. Yeah. RE2 felt more like a traditional Resident Evil versus RE3, which is like they added the tyrant in the sense to like speed you along, to give you the sense that you're always in danger.
Yeah, they would drop Nemesis in, he'd chase you around, and they do that here. It's more of an action game. Both the original Resident Evil 3 and this one are
mm-hmm.
they're more action focused than, you know, one or two, which were very like weird adventure puzzle games that had zombies in them that you would kill, but they weren't primarily action games. They were more adventure puzzle games.
See, that's the part that makes me like, when I read this complaint, I was like, do you guys not remember? Like, I know most of these people don't remember the original, right? We're at that age now where we actually we're that separated from people now.
It was funny, like, just, you know, with that, and then Final Fantasy VII the week after, hearing people talk about it, and like, this is their first experience with those games.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's just amusing to me. It's like, I mean, I'm really old now, I guess, because I played those games 20 years ago.
You're so old, Chris. Goddamn, are you old?
Dude, I'm older than all you guys. What are you talking about?
I'm a spring chicken.
You are. You're just attached.
Dude, I think I am the youngest person in this group.
You probably are, dude. You probably couldn't read
this group
yet.
I know. I forget if I'm older or younger than Jeff.
I'm pretty sure you weren't reading when I was at my first comic book convention.
I think Jeff is 37.
Yeah,
he's 3 years younger than me. I'm the oldest.
No, I'm the oldest.
Aha.
No, you're not older than me, Chris.
I am 42, will be 42 years old. Or I'm 42. No, I don't.
You got 2 years on.
I like that. He's like, I honestly don't even care anymore. It's like 40 something.
I was born in 78. What's that? Like,
you'll be 42 whenever your birthday is this year.
Yeah, 42 in August.
Oh, wait up. You're older than me and you have more kids. You proud of yourself?
Yeah, that's what I was. I was always hoping that I could one up you. Well, and I was able to two up you tonight. Like,
well, you know what? I've been in isolation long enough. I'm going to catch up with the kids situation. Don't worry about it.
it's getting late. Earl, I do want to hear about Cake with the Impossible Lair, though.
Yeah, maybe we'll save that. There's a demo on PS4 that I tried.
Okay.
It is fun. I will give it that. And if it was on sale, I might look into getting it. I will say that much. I think I've not played, what is it, the original game, but it seems like a better.
Yep, it is. I know Jeff is having a revisionist history thoughts with that as he goes through his COVID mind break, but The Impossible Lair is a better game.
Yeah.
Do you redeem the Epic games?
I might have that on Epic. I don't want to say it too loud because anytime you mention Epic Games Store, people come at you.
I take free games wherever I get them, though. So
that's my motto too. Like, I am against Epic for other reasons, but I mean, free is free.
I have not bought anything on the Epic Games Store, but I have a hell of a library from them right now.
I haven't checked them out in a while. I forgot they do that.
Yeah, Mech Warrior. I still
every game that they gave this week they are giving Just Cause and some little indie game. They've been doing like two a week for the last month, so
I still need to play Mech Warrior. I'm going to get to it one of these days. I swear, I promise.
Speaking of little indie games, just as a quick aside, part of the stay at home initiative this week was Sony announced that you can get Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection, which I believe is Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, and Journey for free on the PlayStation 4. So, you know, if you haven't heard about that, that is out there for you.
So are they you can download them and keep, or is it like, you know, it's free to play until...
I think it's download and
keep. No, it's download to keep. It's
okay. I am getting in on that.
Yeah.
It's
a great collection. I've ran through that for trophies. It's a great collection, dude. It really is. Those games runs pretty damn smooth, you know?
I mean, just as a quick aside, I mean, it's a first world issue. If you've had PlayStation Plus, both of those have been free games in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection has been recently. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a great idea. You get dozens of hours of content with the Uncharted franchise. And Journey, as somebody pointed out, is a great way to remember what it is to wander outside with strangers.
No. Ooh, love it. Love being outside with strangers. Wearing masks. Everybody wear masks.
I think the guy in the little creature thing in Journey does wear a mask, a scarf.
Yeah, he does. Completely covered.
So it's a COVID precursor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, Sony, for predicting COVID. And doing nothing about it. I blame them.
You play that. Earl, then we'll talk the Impossible Lair, and if you want to bring Borderlands back next week.
Yeah.
I will save the other games I had to talk, because they are more, I want to hear Jeff's thoughts on some of them too, so we'll do that next week. Walt, Tony, you have anything you want to leave?
Yes, I, on behalf of Tony and the Florida delegation of voters, I want to make sure that we go on record stating that Game of the Year multiplayer this year is going to be Apex on the Critically Sane podcast. That's all we wanted to add.
And the same thing we tell Tony when he mentions it is that is not in any way, shape, or form come out in 2020. So it's not eligible.
Listen to the argument.
My argument, I'll give you a 10-second argument. The game from last year to this year, from season to season, continues to improve and redefine itself. The legends get better and better. The balance is better and better. The maps, dude, I mean, yes, it came out last year, but the game feels completely different.
Maybe we need a new category. The same argument that Tony
makes. And we're in April, so we have 8 months to go. But I totally feel like quarantine game of the year is going to be a thing.
Yeah,
like that game that got you through that. Right now, a month. Like I said, I'm on my fifth week. I think most of us are on our fifth week.
Yeah.
Going for at least another month. So at least 2 months of the year has been dedicated to being in isolation. So I totally think that's going to be a legitimate category at the end of the year.
But as far as like my continuing argument is like you can't discredit these multiplayer, like massive layered multiplayers as like, oh, they're older. Because they have to redefine themselves in order to keep the consumer coming back, the new and old, right? Like Fortnite last year compared to Fortnite currently right now, dude, you got freaking Daredevil running around with Harley Quinn now. What the hell? You know what I mean? You can't just, I don't know, you have to, for at least for a multiplayer, you have to make that exception.
I don't think we need to make the exception for that. I do think maybe we need best ongoing game. That would distinguish.
So, the Florida delegation is very. We're behind that. We want to second that notion, and continue to push that Apex is going to be ongoing best multiplayer the game of the year.
Well, I mean, because then you also open the gate up to something like Fortnite. Overwatch is always a contender. Then,
yeah,
right,
absolutely. You have to, because look how much these games are. Every 3 months or so, there's a challenge to keep people to come back, right? I think, Call of Duty's had that big influx of people, but what's going to be the drop-off? Like, you know, because that game is, like, right now plagued by cheaters and hackers. You know what I mean?
Oh, so basically Call of Duty.
Exactly. So how are they going to combat that and make and balance the game out? Because there's a lot of balance issues going on in the game. Like, I've played it. It doesn't feel like you're running anywhere. It feels like you're floating the entire time. You know what I mean? You get a sense of firing a weapon in that game in comparison to what Apex is doing. It feels like you're fucking, you know, you're in this fast-paced kind of insanity kind of game of chess, you know?
I'm just saying that, you know, in November when Halo Infinite launches, that's a brand new game.
That game's not coming out this year. Sorry.
I am beginning to feel that way too, Tony, but...
Dude, right now, I can tell you, but from what I know in industry, everyone right now is scrambling to see how they're going to possibly release some of this digitally, like the announcements and how they're going to own it. Everyone's going to have a different name for a Nintendo Direct, you know?
Yeah,
especially around E3 time. We're like, you'd be surprised what's coming, what they're trying to push out right now. And don't discredit the notion of the new consoles being pushed to like Q1, Q2 next year, even though right now everyone's saying like, we're on track, you know?
I was going to say, like, one of the things that came out this week, I forget if it was an official story or kind of one of those wink, wink, nod, nods, is that the place that Sony isn't preparing as many consoles for launch this year as they had for the PS3 and the PS4.
Yeah.
And I think that might be the, I think that might be the alternative. It's like, yeah, we're going to launch this year, but we're also going to be that hot button item that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, do that not necessarily fake scarcity because they probably can't prep as many.
Yeah.
But create that Wii scarcity, like, you know, to create that buzz.
I think a lot of people were expecting to be at the midnight launch holding up their console over their head and be very disappointed when it's just going to be an Amazon underpaid delivery guy dropping it off of their home. You know,
I'm too old to do the midnight launch now anyway, but I'm not down for that this year. Like, I don't know if I'm down for getting in line with a bunch of people at midnight.
We still don't even know the prices. I mean, that's how early it is, right?
Don't know the games.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, we have an idea. We have a general idea what PlayStation is going to do for games. You know, at least do. At least I do. I guess I'm talking out of my...
The rest of us don't.
Yeah, I guess.
You may be privy to some information that we can share offline, but...
We talk offline. I'm not sure I can... I used to roommate with guys who would not work for Nintendo, a Sony, and Apple. So, like... So. Yeah, I got... You know, every once in a while I get a text like, hey, bro, don't buy an iPad yet. You know?
Hey, there's some stuff that I'm sure we all kind of agree... If not at launch, it's going to be the idea. I think The Last of Us 2 will be part of that launch window. I imagine Marvel's The Avengers will be a launch title for both Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, there's the stuff that we kind of know, right? Like Halo, you know, it's going to be a system seller. Yeah, Halo's going to be a system seller. I think it's the surprises that people don't see coming that are in your face already. You know what I mean? Like the new GTA, right? I think people would be shocked if it comes out within the first year of a new console, you know, generation. And I think that's what we're looking at.
I mean, it depends. Yeah. I mean, part of it will be shocking, but then you also kind of have to realize that there's been no actual new GTA this entire generation.
Yeah, and I think what Rockstar has been struggling with like getting it to kind of like make it feel like a living world that has no limitations, this next generation is going to be able to offer them that. Small load times, insane amount of like upfront like loading for like an open world, you know? We all saw that demo for Spider-Man, right? Imagine that in GTA. What it would do for making it feel like a sparse, completely filled metropolis, you know?
And still just a ton of assholes out there on the online portion. Just
yeah, but at least this time they're gonna be a lot more boats because it's probably gonna be in Vice City again. You know,
I'd be all right with that.
Me too. I kind of miss how my hometown being represented in the worst possible way. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, just as a quick aside, I'm curious. We mentioned last week that E3 isn't gonna happen in any format this year,
right?
So, what do you expect? Because I do kind of expect. Because, I mean, I think the one thing we have not talked about with this isolation, quarantine, stay at home, whatever the hell you want to call it right now, is that a lot of people have kind of gone into retreat, but there are a lot of places that it is business as usual. So I'm kind of curious when we'll start seeing announcements of people's plans for the year, because in theory, we're less than 2 months out from when E3 would have been.
Yeah. Well, I can say that what I've heard on the marketing side, when the announcement hit, there was a big increase in the Salesforce side on digital platforms and buying into it, right? And from my understanding, like the big console people, Nintendo they're gonna do a direct, right? Sony and Microsoft they're gonna do their own thing too, and they're gonna stream on their own specific platforms, right? Twitch, all that stuff, Mixer and YouTube and all that stuff, they're just going to put it out there. It's going to be pre-recorded. It's not going to be live. And it's just going to be like, bam, 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 bam. And the hope is to end it with like, and by the way, here's the price of a new console available blank. You know what I mean?
Thinking May, sometime in May for.
Yeah. And from my understanding is Marvel as well is buying into that because, but the rumors are out there already. And I think there are more than rumors that Comic-Con's getting, it's getting canceled this year.
I figured it's going to be. Had some folks today who were literally talking about, like, I don't want that to happen anytime soon. I'm like,
it's going to happen. Yeah. It's from what I'm hearing, Marvel is, they're waiting on the official, Comic-Con committee. I think that's what they call themselves, right? The Comic-Con committee.
Yeah.
The people who run it. They're waiting on them to do the announcement. From what I've heard on my side, because I work with a lot of brands that go to Comic-Con, and they're all heard the same thing. The city of San Diego is telling them, "Hey, cancel it before we cancel it for you,"
Right. So they want to end up with a situation where, like, Los Angeles just said, "Like, shit ain't we aren't doing any mass gatherings for the rest of the year."
Yeah.
San Diego might do that as well.
Yeah, so San Diego is essentially done. Like, hey, we give you time to prepare and let your vendors know. But essentially, Marvel right now has zero plans for Comic-Con. It's done. They're gonna. We might actually benefit from it because that stuff that was hidden behind, like the people who paid to be in Hall H, is gonna be available for us online just for the first time.
Yeah, and I mean that's one of the things I've noticed. Not necessarily with Hall H. But at New York Comic Con, they're putting up a lot of the panels and stuff now just for content. And I'm like, okay, so, going forward, it's going to be very hard to go backwards now and be like, oh, we can't post this stuff for people who didn't pay. It's like, you're doing it now, and it only was, 5 months ago, if that. So I think, going forward, I think what they do, and I think San Diego does this to an extent, is like, stream the conference. Hide the special footage. Hide that exclusive trailer or that first peek. Yeah. But people want to see the conferences. They want to see people talk as well.
Yeah, I think the Star Wars Celebration does a fantastic job of that, right? They stream everything but the footage, and then they come back and the room's going bananas, and you're like, "Fuck, I want to see that,"
Yeah.
But this year it's just going to be all like a pre-recorded presentation, and going forward. I think that's going to be presented like it's a live thing, but it's all pre-recorded. I mean, you can't even get permission in most of these cities to get a live crew in there to film stuff on stage unless you're a WWE.
It's a whole different beast.
Yeah, so it's a very different thing. I think I'm saying enough without actually throwing anyone under the bus that actually gives me this information, right? But it's a different world we're living now, right? And I think they're going to try to make the best of it to kind of make us excited and to keep pushing what we love, our pop culture, our subculture forward,
I just didn't realize that E and WWE stood for essential. I didn't get that.
That's a whole different beast. I will be honest with you. I have been a professional wrestling fan my entire life. And, they have always done stuff I disagreed with. But this is one of the ones I disagree with, but it's honestly the first week I can remember where I've made a cognitive decision not to watch any of their product because...
The politics behind it is nasty. The politics is nasty. It's nasty.
The politics are nasty, and I didn't watch Raw for that reason. Mm. And then it's like, oh, we're in a century service. You have to put on this entertainment for people. And... Then, the next day, it's like, oh, we're going to fire, 10% of our workforce. And it's like...
Yeah.
So, yeah. How essential are you?
I mean, the politics aside, of the business side of it, he would have lost a couple million dollars for not fulfilling the USA Fox Sports contract of putting up live content throughout the year. But that still would have been cheaper than what they're doing now.
Yeah.
So, I understand it. It's strange to me.
It's strange, especially being that, because I can't imagine, Fox or ESPN or anybody's, upset at, the NBA or the NFL for, not having live games. And I assume stuff like that's in their contract as well. I imagine you have a contract to show X number of games per year, and if those games aren't happening, they aren't happening. So
some of the most complex, like sports contracts, are the ones that CBS and Fox and all of them do, especially when you factor in like the blackout times and dates for like local TVs and stuff like that for games that don't sell out. It's completely complex, and that's all being set aside. So I don't understand how. I think most of the people who follow this news don't get how these people get branded that, aside from how freaking politically corrupt the governor in Florida is, you know?
Yeah, that and, you know, when the wife of the owner of a company was on the president's...
Yeah, and just... And that same week dropped $18 million in part of her super PAC into the re-election, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was on the up and up, it really does not look that way anymore. So
no, it's strange times, man. Strange time.
Question side related to this. We're getting ready to wrap up, but is AEW still recording live?
No, AEW hasn't recorded. I think they recorded a bunch of stuff in March, and yeah, they're just kind of running through that now, which is pretty crazy. But I think they also announced that they are going to do a live show in May. So we'll see how that goes.
All
right.
Yeah. And also, side note, Chris and I are old enough to actually... I've watched the Ultimate Warrior wrestle live. the Macho Man, I used to watch like him during like the Superstar Saturday morning. I know you remember that, Chris?
Yeah.
Went to Halloween Havoc 1989. It was a WCW.
Yeah, man. There's nothing like the Macho Man and Queen Elizabeth walking down, man, to the aisle and being announced, you know? It's nothing like it, dude.
No, I was always a NWA WCW fan up until you know, the Monday Night Wars killed them, but
oh, that was great. That dude, that was fun times, dude. The Monday Night Wars was fun times, dude.
Yeah.
That was crazy times, dude. The stuff they got away with. If you're not a fan, go look for like footage from those eras. The stuff they got away with on live TV back then was like insane.
The attitude of WWE was fantastic for that. I mean, it has not aged particularly well, but
no,
it was super entertaining at the time, and it also brought out the best of, you know, their competition at that time. So
yeah.
And just I think it's just, one of those things that goes a long way. I think competition has brought out the best to them, and it's part of the reason like people dropped off in the 2000s kind of realized like they aren't trying anymore. But like, yeah, you accepted it back then when it was a war and anything went. Not that they're really not the only show in town, but they are the biggest show in town. And I like their business practices. Like I said, the same, I didn't watch Raw this week. It's the same reason I don't watch their Saudi shows. And I'm just like, you know, it's harder and harder. Like, yes, there's a lot of questionable stuff they did in their product. And I went with it. It was still questionable, but I went with it because I'm like, you know, it's for the sake of entertainment. But like the stuff outside of it, I can't really justify on a personal level anymore. So
yeah,
I don't watch the Saudi shows. I'm not watching their current product.
I mean, we can do a whole podcast on how shady their business practices have been throughout the years, right? The stuff they did to like superstars that didn't act according to the way they want, or how they didn't take care of them. I mean, just if you're interested, Google search Chris Benoit, you know, China, and you get an idea how the behind the scenes stuff, it gets pretty murky, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of that, not that Chris Benoit is a highlight, but I think I'm going to go watch season two of that Dark Side of the Ring that just came out, and he's the season two episode one starter for that. So
yeah, man, it's I mean it in a lot of sense, WWE has a retirement plan for a lot of these people now, right? But yeah, in the '80s and all that stuff, not the case, not at all. Like Macho Man, dude, like I still mimic his elbow drop, right? That when I play with my dogs, I did get the elbow drop. You know what I mean? But like, there's a period of time after that that even Hulk Hogan says it, like, that dude was coked out of his mind way too much. You know what I mean?
I think the sad secret of wrestling for the 80s and most of the 90s is most people were kind of coked out of their minds. Macho Man, Shawn Michaels is a very famous example of that, especially in the 90s. Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, whatever you want to call him, are either coked out of their minds or just drunk as hell.
And like Jake the Snake Roberts, he famously came out. He found the light at the end of the tunnel, right? And he says it. The problem was like painkillers wasn't enough, so I was doing coke, waiting for the painkillers to kick in. They're doing all that stuff to manage the pain, you know. Because it's, dude, there's documentaries out there that's just fascinating, dude. It's fascinating stuff.
Yep. It's and some of it is sad. It's very sad.
All of it's sad, in my opinion. You know what I mean? There's no, even the NFL, right? For a long ass time, they were just like, okay, you're retiring. Good luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It isn't until recently they realized, hey, we're, for the sake of this sport, these people are destroying themselves inside and out, you know?
We will.
Maybe we'll do a wrestling show one day.
Tony's like, I'm all down for talking about wrestling video games.
What is wrestling?
Well, we can talk about wrestling video games, dog. You know, you played them.
I did not.
Don't start.
No.
How do you not play them? The one on the N64. Or what's the one on the N64?
No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000.
I think No Mercy. That thing was epic, man. It's still one of the best wrestling games in the business. Sorry, the 2K ones don't hold a candle to it.
On the bright side, it's a great excuse for them not to do one this year. Yep. So
Yep. I see some of the glitches from the current 2K. Holy crap, it's horrible.
It's amazing that those games make it to publication. That's
crazy.
Where's the quality control, right? Jeez.
There's those ones and the EA NBA games. Like, how does this exist?
Yeah.
What have you done?
I think it's a good year to have an excuse of we're going to take time off because we're going to lose money anyhow to reevaluate stuff and give your developers and your staff a year to actually do something. Because I remember when people were excited that Take-Two had purchased the license, and it's like, nope, we're going to use the same company and they're going to do the same thing. Oh, no, okay, we're going to change companies, but they're going to use the same license and get the same time frame. And it's like, okay, you folks have been making crappy games for like 15 years now. Take a year off and get something that people actually want to play and not ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't 2K announce they're getting back in the NFL game?
They're getting back in the NFL game, but I think they can't do Sims. They have to do like arcade games.
Yeah, so it won't be a Madden competitor.
That's a shame, man. That's a shame.
Madden's already perfect. It's fine.
That's why.
Well, Madden got perfect because they were getting that push from the 2K games back in the Dreamcast era.
But the current Madden is perfect. How dare you impugn Madden?
I'm just saying, competition is not a bad thing. Competition is not a bad thing.
Madden doesn't need competition. It's perfect.
It needs competition.
You're beautiful in every single way.
Oh, God.
We'll pick up on the Madden perfect debate at a later date. thank you everyone for listening. Whatever the hell this was tonight.
Hey, we've been isolated too long. You can't blame us. All right. Remember to try that washing your friend's hands technique I taught you.
Yep. Throw it from 6 feet away.
Yep.
And then a bath bomb.
That's right.
We'll be back next week. Final Fantasy VII remake. Some maybe the Impossible Lair, some stuff from Jeff, maybe some more Animal Crossing. I have issues with that game to discuss.
Hopefully some board games.
Yeah, and hopefully some board games finally.
Nobody's moving next week, right?
No, not that I know.
Not, yeah.
Tony.
Well, I think I enjoyed it. I might do it again.
If
I'm back next week, I promise we will talk Apex again for Game of the Year.
And I meant to put it in my notes, and we can talk about it next week. I did check out, there's a new Mortal Kombat animated movie called Mortal Kombat Legends Scorpion's Revenge. We can talk about it next week as well. So
we'll have a movie review from...
Wait, Scorpion hasn't had revenge yet?
I guess he needed more revenge.
There's been 11 Mortal Kombat. He still doesn't... That guy's a horrible at revenge.
Well, he hasn't really set out for the revenge yet.
Yes, he did! From the very first Mortal Kombat, it said on his thing, he's out to get revenge against his enemy Sub-Zero.
I think at some point they became friends again, though.
In the anthology one.
But then he remembered that he still needed revenge.
Yes.
Now that's what... See, he got his revenge, then he was like, oh, I'm actually this dude, and now he needs to get revenge again.
I don't know, man. Those feuds, I don't know. Still, horrible at revenge. You should have had it by now.
That's fair enough. Earl Sagonite.
Good night. Ooh. Goodbye.